In the midst of his servitude, he rises in prominence and rank to serve one of the governors of the land, whose wife thinks that she can control and manipulate him in any way she wants to, and attempts to seduce him. And Joseph makes this great big long speech. She simply says two words, lie with me now. And he makes a whole speech. It goes on for several verses. He says, I can't do this. My master trusts me with everything in the house. I have control over everything except you. And besides, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob wouldn't condone this behavior. And so he throws about five or six reasons at her why this isn't possible. She doesn't hear any of it, and she keeps pursuing him day after day, the text says. In Jewish tradition, it accounts that this goes on for an entire year, that he has to fight this this temptation. How is he able to do that? I think, wow, what his father must have taught him. The stories that were not told in the text. What is it that Joseph possesses? Later on in chapter 42 of Genesis, Joseph tells his brothers, at that point, I fear God. I fear God. To me, that's the answer of how Joseph could prevent himself from falling into temptation, falling into sin, especially with that constant bombardment. Come on, just do it. Come on, day after day. Trying to avoid yet another scheme to draw him away. The fear of the Lord must have been so strong in Joseph's heart and life. The fear of the Lord. Fear of God plays a significant role in this week's Torah portion. This is actually one of the shortest Torah portions. It's only 30 verses long. In fact, in the last five chapters of the book of Deuteronomy, there are four Torah portions. There are a lot of places in the Bible where one Torah portion is five chapters long. But here, right at the end of the year, I guess the rabbis knew that it was a busy time of year with all the holidays, so they made our Torah readings really short. In Deuteronomy 31, verses 12 and 13, twice we're told that we have to learn how to fear God. Here's what it says. Assemble the people, the men, the women, the little ones, the stranger, the ger, that's within your cities, that they may all hear. Remember last Shabbat talked about hearing comes first. There it is again. That they might hear and that they may learn and fear the Lord your God and observe to do all the words of this Torah. Verse 13, and that their children who have not known may hear and learn to fear the Lord your God as long as you live in the land where you are going over the Jordan to possess. That you may learn to fear the Lord. We don't just do it automatically. It doesn't come natural to us, at least after the, you know, whatever time it is, at whatever age we first sin, I don't know, taking a cookie when we're not supposed to from the cookie jar. At that point on, we're after our, usually, unless guided, we are after our own ambitions, our own inclinations, our own desires. The New Covenant Scriptures calls it the lust of the eyes, the lust of the flesh, and the pride of life. Three kinds of sin. Of course, the woman in the garden was tempted by the, not an apple, in those exact three ways. She saw that it looked good, that it would taste good, and that it would lead to this kind of wisdom and understanding. That is, she was tempted by the lust of the eyes, the lust of the flesh, and her arrogance and pride. Check out sometime how Yeshua was tempted in Matthew chapter 3, and you'll see that he was tempted in those exact same three ways also. But here on Shabbat Shuvah, the Sabbath of return, the Sabbath of repentance, before Yom Kippur, I want to look at the theme of repentance from the positive angle, inspired by the Torah portion, where we're told how to avoid needing to repent. We can avoid needing to repent by learning to fear God. So instead of talking about repentance, I'm going to talk about it coming from the other direction. What are the positive things we build in our life so we don't have to come back quite as far to the Most High when we return to Him, when we repent? Learn to fear God. Psalm 112, a psalm that my wife reads to me almost every Shabbat evening, begins, Ashrei Ish, blessed or happy is the man who fears the Lord. The person that fears the Lord is blessed and happy, who delights in God's commandments, the rest of the verse says. Ashrei Ish, happy is the man who fears the Lord, who delights in God's commandments. Fearing God in that verse leads to observing and obeying God. Again, just like last week, I tried to set up the idea that hearing God was the first thing before we could serve Him, love Him, obey Him. We had to first hear God. But before we can obey God, another thing we must do is fear Him. Happy is the man who fears the Lord. He will delight in God's commandments. In order to delight in God's instruction, we must learn how and what it means to fear God. I'm currently talking to an individual, a believer, actually not in our congregation, who doesn't understand the fear of God at all. In fact, in their perspective, that's a bad thing. We need to be, you know, able to approach and confront and interface with God in intimate, close ways, not being afraid of God. And I said, well, yeah, that's important. But we do that through the fear of God. And he's like going, no, but that's not right. And so, you know, we have a disagreement, you see. So this idea of fearing the Lord, I sense, is something that is misunderstood, not recognized how important it is. So we're going to talk about what does it mean to fear the Lord. Exodus chapter 20, this is the Ten Commandment passage at Mount Sinai. Israel had told Moses, no, we don't want to hear God's voice. You go talk to God. The very next verse 20, says this. Moses told them, you know what? I don't have it written down. I'm going to have to look it up. And you know what? The verses are different in one Bible and another Bible. Okay, verse 16. They said to Moses, You speak with us and we will hear, but don't let God speak with us or we will die. Verse 17, this is in the Hebrew. Of course, there are places where Hebrew and English verses differ. Moses said to the people, fear not, for God has come to test you, that his fear may be before you, and that you sin not. Moses tells the people, you know, don't hold yourself off from the voice of God. Listen to the voice of God. Why? So that you may understand the fear of the Lord and that you will not sin. Fear of the Lord leads, according to Moses and Mount Sinai at the Ten Commandments, when we learn to fear the Lord, it will diminish sin in our lives. We can even avoid sin by the fear of the Lord. Proverbs chapter 16, verse 6 says, fear the Lord is to hate evil. The fear of the Lord is to hate evil. Why does Moses in our Torah portion instruct us to learn to fear the Lord? So that we can learn what it is to avoid sin. If we grow in our fear of the Lord, we will be able to not have to repent so much. I mean, maybe less than once a day, maybe. Just last night, I found myself telling my wife, okay, I'm sorry. I got a bad attitude. Sorry, I'm cranky. And it happens every day. But as we grow in the fear of the Lord, we'll learn to detest and hate those attitudes and those actions. Do you see why the fear of the Lord is so important in our lives? Do you see why Moses wanted us to learn what that was? To grow in it? I don't know. Where are you in the scale of fearing God? Are you at a one or a two? You know, I don't know if maybe we're at an eight or a nine. Maybe we're growing along the way, though. Psalm 34, verse 11. God says, come, children, listen to me. I will teach you the fear of the Lord. God even says that we should learn what it means to fear him. I will teach you the fear of the Lord. It's one of our Sabbath psalms that we recite so often. One of you actually told me a week or two ago that you really love even that particular verse. God draws us and he says, hey, come, be like my children so that I can teach you, so you can grow in the understanding of what it means to fear the Lord. God longs to see us grow in his likeness, grow in understanding who he is. Did you know Yeshua had to grow toward God like that? Isaiah chapter 11 Isaiah chapter 11, verses 1 through 3, speaking of Yeshua, by the way, and we'll be reading Isaiah this afternoon at our scripture reading time, so come join us. There will come forth a rod from the stem of Jesse, and a branch will grow out of his roots. The Spirit of the Lord will rest upon him. The seven spirits of God here listed that we see later in the New Covenant scriptures. The spirit of wisdom and understanding, the spirit of counsel and might, the spirit of knowledge and the fear of the Lord. His delight is in the fear of the Lord. It then goes on to, with that familiar passage, he will not judge with the sight of his eyes or decide with the hearing of his ears. But with righteousness, he will judge. Appropriate thoughts for the High Holy Day period. Did you catch what the promise of Messiah, what would Messiah delight in? The Messiah would delight in the fear of the Lord. Remember what Psalm 112 said? Blessed is the person who delights in God's commandments, who fears the Lord. Isaiah 11 said that the Messiah would delight, take delight in fearing the Lord. You know what? That means he had to grow in it too. You ever thought about that? They say Yeshua never sinned. Let me ask you, why did Yeshua never sin? Because he was perfect? Okay, then, if that's possible, why was that? Yeshua didn't sin simply because he was God's son. We're told, actually, he divested himself of that when he came to earth. So he wasn't perfect because he was divine. Why was Yeshua sinless? Because he learned to fear the Lord. He learned how to obey. And before you say, oh, that's not in there. Hebrews chapter 5. Verse 7. In the days of his life on earth, Yeshua offered up both prayers and pleas with loud cries and tears. Any of you ever prayed that way? To the one who is able to save him from death, though he was a son, he learned obedience. You ever thought about that? Yeshua learned how to obey God. What does that do for your understanding of Yeshua's character? His identity. Yeshua wasn't sinless because he was God. He was sinless because, according to Scripture, he learned obedience from what he suffered. And he feared God. Yeshua feared the Lord. His delight, as Isaiah 11 said, his delight is in the fear of the Lord. What did the bat kol, the heavenly voice, say when Yeshua was immersed by Yochanan? This is my son in whom I am well pleased. Very good. Why was God pleased with Yeshua? The answer is in Psalm 147, verse 11. It says, the Lord takes pleasure in those who fear him. The Lord takes pleasure in those who fear him, in those who hope in his mercy. God took pleasure in Yeshua because Yeshua feared the Lord. Yeshua learned obedience. Yeshua grew in fearing the Lord. Wonderful picture of Messiah. Yeshua was doing the same thing that we started out by mentioning Joseph. Joseph could avoid sin because in his own words, Joseph said, I fear God. Of course, if we are encouraged to fear the Lord, to learn to fear the Lord, as Moses told us, and to learn obedience, as Hebrews puts it, then, of course, when we don't fear the Lord is to fall into sin, right? Jeremiah chapter 2, it said that it is an evil and bitter thing that you have forsaken the Lord your God, and the fear of me is not in you. The Lord speaking through Jeremiah, this was at the time of the Babylonian exile. Jeremiah, who God gave the most difficult words of any of the prophets, it is a bitter and evil thing that you have forsaken the Lord. And how is it that you've done that? It's because you have not learned to fear me. Jeremiah chapter 2, verse 19. Interestingly, what is it in Jeremiah that we see when the promise comes around to fulfillment of the new covenant? The new covenant that God promised, Jeremiah chapter 31, the days are coming when I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and Judah, the Jewish people, which is a passage we all need to have memorized by heart. The next chapter, Jeremiah chapter 32, talks about how this new covenant impacts our propensity to wander and stray from God. What is it that will happen? So check this out. Jeremiah chapter 32, verse 38 says, I will give them, speaking of our Jewish people, I will give them one heart and one way. Lev Echad. Derek Echad. I will give them one heart and one way that they may fear me forever. Salute. The nation as a whole, it's interesting that this is in the singular. I will give them one heart. The whole nation will get a single heart. A new one way. And they will fear me, says the Lord. Psalm 86 says that God will unify our heart to fear him. It came up in our liturgy. We read it together today. It's not referenced as a passage from Psalms, but of course most of our liturgy is our thoughts and phrases lifted from Scripture, where we read that he will unify our heart to love and fear his name, from Psalm 86, I believe. Finally, what will happen? What is the benefits of fearing the Lord? If I've not sold it to you yet, let me share with you some ideas that my friend Alan Binger wrote. He opened the book of devotionals that he wrote. First theme in the book, fearing the Lord. I think so appropriate. Alan says, now comes the exciting part. Let's look at the many benefits that we can look forward to when we make it our quest to fear the Lord. And he goes on and lists nearly 20 things that we benefit from by fearing the Lord, besides just avoiding sin. Number one, wisdom. Psalm 111, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. A good understanding have all those who do his commandments. First benefit, wisdom. Second benefit, salvation. From Psalm 85, surely his salvation is near those who fear him, that glory may dwell in our land. Number three, life. Quoting Proverbs 14, the fear of the Lord is a fountain of life. You know, was it Cortez that was looking for the fountain of youth? Which one was it? Oh, Ponce de Leon. If he was looking for the fountain of life, there must not have been any teachers with him that knew the scriptures. He could have simply been told, the fear of the Lord is the fountain of life. Half his men would have lived. Yeshua filled this verse when he said, whoever drinks the water I give him will never thirst. The water will spring up into everlasting life. Number four, God's pleasure is a benefit from fearing the Lord. As we've seen from Psalm 147, God takes pleasure in them that fear him, in those that hope in his mercy. You cannot fear the Lord without having hope in God, recognizing that God is merciful. Having an attitude about God will not grow toward fearing him. Next, preservation. From Deuteronomy chapter 6, the Lord commanded us to observe all these statutes, to fear the Lord our God, for our good, that he might sustain us alive, that he might preserve, that he might sustain us. Not just life in the Olam Haba, but life in the Olam Hazeh, in this age, that he would sustain us and preserve us, that we would have life to fear the Lord our God. leads to God's preservation and sustaining. Answered prayer, number 7. We read this together, and as Aaron led us from Psalm 145, He will fulfill the desire of those who fear Him. He will hear their cry and save them. Answered prayer is a benefit from fearing the Lord. Number 8, confidence. From Proverbs 14, it says, "In the fear of the Lord there is strong confidence, and His children will have a place of refuge." It doesn't matter what your personality type is. You know, I hated junior high. I'd never go back to middle school for any amount of money, I don't believe. I had a different kind of temperament. And bullies like to pick on me. And you might think that you're lowly and that you have low self-esteem. You might not think that you have great abilities, that you don't have a lot of confidence, but you can have confidence in the Lord. In the fear of the Lord, there is strong confidence. I think that'll preach. Health and strength is the next one. Health and strength from Proverbs 3. Do not be wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord. Depart from evil. It will be health to your body. Of course, we don't see life compartmentalized into like this is spiritual. And this is my music. And this is the movies I read. And over here I have my bucket of relationships. And then somewhere else I have my attitudes and what I like to think about. No, we're not compartmentalized. Every part of our life is spiritual. Everything you do is spiritual. There's no such thing as a division between secular and sacred. There's no such thing as religious and non-religious. Those are philosophical categories. According to Scripture, everything is spiritual. There is nothing secular. And there's no secular music. Okay, young teenagers? There's no such thing as religious music and secular music. There can be unspiritual music, to say evil music, but there's no such thing as secular music. Everything is spiritual. Or, of course, the antithesis of that. Of course, we also have that verse from Malachi that teaches that the fear of the Lord leads to healing. It says, "You who fear my name, for you who fear my name, the Son of Righteousness will arise with healing in its wings." Number 10, you'll have blessings when you fear the Lord. Psalm 115, "He will bless those who fear the Lord, both small and great." I've already mentioned Psalm 112. Proverbs 24 says, "By humility and the fear of the Lord are riches, honor, and life." Happiness. Number 11, "Happy is the person who fears always, but the one who hardens his heart will fall into calamity." Number 12, guidance, direction, knowing the right path to take in life, knowing God's will. It's not a mystery. You don't have to read a bunch of books about knowing how to find God's will. Who is the man who fears the Lord? Psalm 25 asks. He will teach him in the way he chooses. Fear of the Lord leads to God teaching us the path that we should take. The Lord has given us, of course, His Holy Spirit to be our teacher and our guide. Number 13, God's attention. I like this. The eye of the Lord is on those who fear Him, on those who hope in His mercy, to deliver their soul from death and keep them alive in times of famine. Yes, that's one of our Sabbath psalms, Psalm 33. The eye of the Lord is on those who fear Him. Number 15, victory over enemies. Make vows to the Lord your God and pay them. Let all those who are around Him bring presents to Him who ought to be feared. He will cut off the spirit of princes. In other words, the spirit, the adversarial spirits. He will cut those off. He is awesome to the kings of the earth. But he will, in contrast, to those who fear the Lord. Several more here. Finally, let me mention one for the ladies. Proverbs chapter 31. Charm and flattery is deceitful, and beauty is passing. But a woman who fears the Lord, she should be praised. It's the very last verse of Proverbs. Very last verse of a book about wisdom says, ladies, count your strength not based on your ability to charm, flatter, and manipulate. And don't think it's based on physical appearance. It's based on fearing the Lord. In fact, how does the book of Proverbs open? Chapter 1, verse 7 of the book of Proverbs. Now, fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. How does the rest of it go, Karen? Oh, sorry. I put her on the spot. I don't have it written down in front of me. I find it interesting that the book of Proverbs opens and closes on the theme of fearing the Lord. It's a book about wisdom, but it's bracketed by fearing the Lord. But okay, so read the whole verse. Thank you. If you want those references again from Binger's book, let me know. May we grow and learn. May we have hearts willing for God to teach us. God wants to be our teacher. We need Him to be our teacher. May we be willing to learn. May we have hearts to learn the lessons. To ride out the disciplines and hold on to the wisdom that God wants to give us. Come, my children, listen to me, and I will teach you the fear of the Lord, God says. God wants to be our teacher. Yeshua had to learn how to obey in the fear of the Lord. Moses tells Israel in this Torah portion that we must fear, learn to fear the Lord. It's true in our lives even today. Avinu Malkinu, Lord, I simply pray that we would be students to hear your voice, that we would grow and learn how to hear you and how to grow